All right, well, welcome everyone. Welcome. So glad to have you here, and especially to our church. I'm so glad we can be here today, and visitors, all of you, especially you guys in the back rows there. I was already teasing you before, but really good. Can you hear me, or do I need to be just a little closer here? Good? Is this good? There we go. Don't want to spit into it. Kevin and Becky, thank you for hosting us here and all the extra work that you had to put in to make this work, almost like old times, but very good. Glad we could do this. And Jordan and Dwight making the technology work today, so really appreciate that. Really do appreciate that. All right, so here we are. Especially, we're here for Jesus first, but we're here for Holly and Kalia, and so to celebrate with them and their families. And an honor to do that this morning. We look forward to this. So this is how the morning's going to go. I'm going to give a little bit of a message about baptism. Then Cody and Scott are going to come up and lead us in a couple of more songs. And songs that Holly and Kalia have chosen as their special songs. And then we'll be leading that, right? Yep. And then we're going to do a testimony interview with the two of them. And then the parents are going to come and give a blessing to them, and then we're going to move to the pond that way, and then we will baptize them, have one closing song there, a couple of announcements about lunch, which you're all invited to stay for lunch together, and that will be the morning. So that's where we're going. Baptism, what is it? Why do we practice it? There's two important ordinances. Ordinance. Where does that word come from? Ordinance means that Jesus ordained communion and baptism. That's what the church around the world does. Jesus ordained it. Or the Catholic Church uses the word sacraments, which I kind of like too, because it's a sacred act. So it's ordained by Jesus, but it's a sacred act, communion and baptism. So why do we do that? Let me tell you a story about my grandmother. My grandmother grew up in Germany during the Second World War. My mom was born just before the Second World War started. And they endured that, and then eventually they immigrated over to Canada. My grandmother grew up Lutheran, but had lost the church, left the church for many, many years. And in her later years, as I was talking to her, she's been gone, I think, almost 20 years now. But she came to Jesus watching Billy Graham on TV. That's how she came to Jesus. Her second husband was kind of agnostic, probably an atheist, and I understand a little bit from his life. I can see why he would be that. But my grandmother never really had the chance to grow in her walk with Jesus. She knew she believed in Jesus. She had invited Jesus into her life, and because of that, she had some Christian friends who were running a Bible camp and who then got me and my sisters to Bible camp, and that's how we became Christians, because we grew up with non-Christian parents. And that's that neat story of how God put my grandmother, obviously, in my life, but how God used her. But it wasn't until many years later, she got connected to a church in Mission, British Columbia, where she lived.
Thank you.
And many years later, now, my grandmother struggled with three forms of cancer. She had breast cancer, then she had lung cancer, and then she had bone cancer, and that's eventually how she passed away. But in her 70s, and you can imagine a thin woman and beat up with a couple of bouts of cancer already at this point, and she wanted to be baptized. At 70 or 75 or whatever she was. And so this little church, somebody in their church had a hot tub in the basement. And that's where my grandmother was baptized upon confession of her faith. How many of you would like to be baptized in a hot tub? That would be amazing. But I share that story because to her, in her faith, small f faith, but it was enough that she wanted to take this step of baptism, and it was important to her. And so my challenge to all of us is, no matter how old you are, you can still be baptized. That's a good thing. Now, the early Anabaptists, as you know, if you've grown up in a Mennonite church, had the purpose in the baptism to declare their faith as a clear, mature choice and commitment. The church at that time, around the Reformation, they practiced infant baptism and then confirmation. But the Anabaptists and the Reformers had a better purpose. Jesus' purpose in baptism was more than just a rite and more than being perfunctory. Biblically, what is it? If you remember your church history or your Israel history, for 400 years, there was no prophet. And all of a sudden, who shows up? John the Baptizer. Don't call him John the Baptist, because he wasn't Baptist. He was a baptizer. And that's what he did. He started baptizing people upon confession of their faith and repentance. They were trying to change. There was a vacuum. They weren't hearing from God. And he comes. What is he dressed in? Camel hair? With a leather belt? And all he seemed to eat was locusts? When's the last time you've had a locust? And honey. Well, I had honey on my toast this morning, so that's good. That's who he was. So he was a sight to behold. Like, that's, I think, why a lot of people went down to the river to see. Is that true? That's who he is. And he had such a clear message that people by the droves, even Romans, would come to the water and they would be baptized upon repentance of their faith. A change. 400 years without a prophet, and John the Baptizer shows up. And he even baptized Jesus. Clearly, Jesus didn't need to be baptized. But I love that about Jesus. He never asks us to do anything that he hasn't already done. He's asking, he's commanding us to be baptized, and he goes, I'm going to do it too, just so you know. Anything he asks us to do for him, he's already done. If he asks us to die for him, he's already died and resurrected, and he got ahead of us, and so we'll be resurrected too if we believe in Jesus. He even baptized Jesus. And the church has continued to practice baptism and repentance ever since. Acts chapter 2, Peter said in a great speech when all that was happening in the beginning of Acts, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is an incredible act, ladies. And this is an incredible act for every one of us who has been baptized. I hope you're looking back and you're remembering to your baptism as well. Even the Ethiopian man in Acts chapter 8 requested baptism as he and Philip talked about Isaiah 53. And no doubt Philip talked to him about Jesus and talked to him about baptism. And all of a sudden they pull up and there's some water, and so he gets baptized. Even a man that didn't know a lot at the time, he became baptized. And apparently, church history means that this man then started a whole revival in Ethiopia and beyond. Does this mean that every Christian must be baptized? I think so. I would say so, yes. It is very clear that every Christian, as they choose to follow Jesus, should be baptized and should want to be baptized. Remember my granny. That's what I call her, granny. My granny even was baptized. And I encourage any of you that have not been baptized, let's talk. I know there may be reasons. Well, I can't talk in public and all that kind of stuff. I know, we can work through that. But if you have not been baptized and you're following Jesus, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. This morning, we have two young ladies having grown up in strong Christian homes who have believed in Jesus for themselves and are choosing to follow Jesus for the rest of their lives. This morning is a very public statement of their commitment to Jesus. Granted, here in Rosenort, this is a safe place to be baptized, and the water's even safe, so that's good. There's no dragons or lizards, or might be a leech or two in there, but it's pretty safe. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I don't like leeches either. In many places around the world, baptism is seen and can be seen as a death sentence. In many countries in the world, it's one thing to say I believe in Jesus, but when people take a step of baptism in certain countries in the world, they are now seriously declaring they are following Jesus and not turning back, and that's a death sentence on their forehead. Polly and Clea, I think we all know that it's becoming increasingly difficult, and all of us understand that, to be a Christian in this world. And though it is easy for you to walk into this pond, your life, our lives as Christians, will continue to be difficult if it isn't already. Let me conclude with Colossians chapter 2, which clearly states what we're doing here. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized." When you were baptized, you were buried with Christ. And in him, and with him, you were raised to new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. The words that I will be using as I'm baptizing you will be, I baptize you upon the confession of your faith. And then as we go back into the water, buried with Christ in the likeness of his death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Those are the words based on this passage. You and I, we were dead because of our sins. We were far from God. And because of our sinful nature was not cut away, then God made you alive with Christ. How? Why? How did he do that? He forgave our sins. Jesus has forgiven your sins. He's forgiven my sins. I hope he's forgiven each of our sins. And God made you alive with Christ as he forgave you all our sins. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. And in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. The devil has no more control over you. He'll poke at you, and he'll bug you, and he'll tempt you, and he'll just shame on you, but he has no power over you, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, for you, for all of us as Christians. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Jesus lived a sinless life. Jesus died on the cross. He descended into Hades. He stole our keys. I've talked about that, church, lots. And he rose from the dead, triumphal over death, sin, and the devil. And he ascended into heaven. And he's seated at the right hand of God. The place of authority and the place of honor. That's who we follow. Let me say this. If you're here this morning and you have never invited Jesus Christ into your life, if you're here and you have never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, this morning is the time to do that. Come talk to me. Come talk to someone that you know follows Jesus. And they can help you with that. To choose to live for him, this is your morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've walked away from God. Maybe your relationship is distant. This is the morning to come back closer to Jesus. That's what he wants for you. He loves you. He loves me. He loves each of us. Colossians chapter 2. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life, because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, Then God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave us all our sins. And he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. And in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So I ask you, Holly and Clea, is it your desire to be baptized and to declare your allegiance and commitment to Jesus Christ? All right. Let's pray, and then Cody will lead us in some singing together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you have done for us. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to really impress that on each of our hearts, what you have done for us. Incredible love. And you want a relationship, a very personal relationship. You want to forgive us of our sins. You want us to live with you and for you. So we ask, Jesus, that you'll continue to speak to us and encourage us and bless us. We thank you in Jesus' name.